going.
Good afternoon. I open the House Committee on Consumer Protection and Government Effectiveness. It is Tuesday, April 21st. Welcome. So we're going to jump around a little bit today. I think since Representative Buckley is here, we'll go ahead and open a work session on House Bill 2599. And Wendy will give us a quick recap of what that is. And Sean, if you want to come up as well or anyone else, just to talk about the Dash 2.
Madam Chair and members, House Bill 2599 prohibits a public utility from terminating electric or natural gas service to certain residential customers under certain circumstances. The bill establishes notice requirements for termination of electric or natural gas service to residential customers. And I believe the witnesses will talk about the Dash 2 amendment.
Go ahead.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Representative Peter Buckley, representing South Jackson County and Legislature. Thank you for your patience and consideration of this bill. The Dash 2, we're all trying to get to the same place. We're all trying to get to a process in every part of the state where the most vulnerable Oregonians are protected of the impacts of having their utilities shut off. We've worked with the utilities on a Dash 2. It does not have a fiscal yet. It will have to ask the indulgence of the committee to suspend the rules and move without a fiscal. In addition, we need to change this one more time. If you send the rules, we're going to change it one more time to where the utilities are supposed to send their reports to. So we'll get that clarified as well. But again, I appreciate your time and consideration. And we've worked with utilities to try to come up with something that we can all support. And I was very grateful for their work on this.
Okay, thank you.
Beth Vargas Duncan, Chair Fagan, members of the committee. Beth Vargas Duncan, Oregon Municipal Electric Utilities Association. We have been working with a kind representative who's made huge strides in the amendments Dash 2. The one piece that we are asking is the consumer-owned utilities would like to have it maintain equity with the investor-owned utilities that would be reporting to the PUC, their governing body. We would ask that the change be made in the Dash 2 amendment through the process that we report to our governing bodies, our city councils, boards, commissions, rather than the Department of Energy. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Sean Miller. I'm here today on behalf of PacifiCorp, an electric utility that operates in Oregon as Pacific Power. And we are also okay with the Dash 2 amendments in the bill. It has us reporting to the Public Utility Commission, which is our regulatory body, and we're fine with that. I think the correction that could be done very easily on the Senate side is just the reporting for the publics. And so with that, I think we're all in agreement. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Since they're up here, are there any questions for these folks? Representative Nierman.
Thanks, Madam Chair. So to any of you, Representative Buckley, so there's some terms in here that seem like they would be really kind of hard for a consumer to understand if they qualify, or for a utility to understand or to find out. So things like a low-income senior citizen, what's low income? Or a consumer whose household includes a seriously ill individual, or a person with a disability, what's a seriously ill individual or a person with a disability? Or with a member of the household whose earnings are the primary source of support for the household has died within the past 6 months. I guess that's pretty clear what that is, but for the utility to identify that seems pretty difficult. How do you, how do these utilities steer around those then?
Madam Chair, Sir Newman, I think that's a difficulty we ran into in trying to pass the original bill, was that each one of the utilities said they have a different process, and we were trying to prescribe a process that would be a uniform process, and I'd be glad to have the utility representatives answer that. But they all believe they have the tools that they can do this by, and so all we're doing now with the Dash 2 is saying, can you tell us what those tools are? Can you report to your governance entity what those tools you are using, and that information could then be available for consumers and be available for all of us to know.
Madam Chair, Representative Nierman, I think the Dash 2s do change that, and that was an original concern that we had in the original bill. I think what we're trying to do now is get just a better understanding from a state perspective. I think the representative looking at the shutoff policies, you know, I mean, when we first came to the committee, you know, our interest is in actually trying, you know, not to shut off consumers' electricity bills and, you know, through assistance and other programs that we've created. And so I think, compiling this information, I think, may make us, at least look at this issue and continue this conversation. But I think the change in the Dash 2 amendments reflect, again, some of those original concerns that we had.
Just to be clear, what I just read is out of the Dash 2 amendments. So, and you're okay with that then? So you think you can identify someone who's seriously ill and...
Chair Fagan, members of the committee, in the Dash 2s, it just asks for us to report our processes. So we report our processes in how the utilities interpret this or how they address it or may not address it. So we just report the processes that we have place currently.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions or comments? Okay.
To that last comment, the language says plan, that you have to, you have to tell us what your plan or your toolbox is. And so if there is someone who doesn't have a toolbox or doesn't have a plan to address these issues, then they would have to create one in the Dash 2s.
Madam Chair, Representative McLean, yes, they would. But I'm sure that every utility does have an effort that they put forward to make sure they're not doing cutoffs on people who would be negatively impacted. We're just trying to see, get that all that information of what those plans are.
And Madam Chair, Representative McLean, I think also at the first hearing we talked about a PUC process that was looking at it, that even though the IOUs are regulated by the PUC, the publics were participating in that process, as well as members from Representative Buckley's district. And so some of this information may be used in helping in that process. And again, that it hasn't been developed quite yet on how long that process is going to, because they just kind of started in the middle of this conversation. But again, I think that could be useful.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Danelle, I see you back there. Did you guys want to go on the record at all, or your concerns? Okay. All right.
Thank you.
All right. So with that, so which one first? Okay. So entertain a motion. So 1, 2, 3.
All right. Madam Chair, I would move to adopt the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2599, dated April 17, 2015.
Representative Brayfield has moved to adopt the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2599, dated 4-17-15. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Okay, seeing none, so adopted.
Madam Chair, I move to suspend the rules for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2599 as amended, with the Dash 2 amendments without a fiscal and revenue impact statement.
Representative Rayfield has moved to suspend the rules for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2599 as amended with the Dash 2 amendment without a fiscal and revenue impact statement. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Okay, seeing none, the rules are suspended.
Madam Chair, I would move House Bill 2599 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Rayfield has moved House Bill 2599 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Okay. Seeing none, please call the roll.
Rep. Holby?
Aye.
Rep. McLean?
Aye.
Rep. Neerman?
Aye.
Yes.
Vice Chair Bueller?
Yes.
Vice Chair Rayfield?
Yes.
Yes. All right, and I'm assuming Representative Buckley wants to carry that bill, so we'll assign him. And with that, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2599 and open a work session on House Bill 2019. Please give us a reminder.
Madam Chair and members, House Bill 2019 expands the membership of the Oregon Government Ethics Commission from 7 to 9 members as of July 1st, 2016. It specifies a method for selecting members and provides a procedure for the executive director of the commission to conduct a preliminary review phase of ethics complaints and limits the time for the review to 30 days. It also requires the commission to make various information searchable on the internet by January 1st, 2017, and there's a Dash 3 amendment that makes some changes to the appointment of members to the commission.
All right, I will entertain a motion.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 2019, dated April 10th, 2015.
Representative Rayfield has moved to adopt the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 2019, dated 4-10-15. Is there any discussion? And colleagues, if you'll recall, the Dash 3... There was a Dash 1 amendment that was proposed by Senator Farioli. Mm-hmm. There was a Dash 2 amendment that was proposed, kind of some technical changes that were proposed by the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. And the Dash 3 is the combination of both of those amendments. Okay, seeing no further discussion, please call the roll.
Rep. Holby?
Aye.
Oh, wait, this is the amendment.
Aye.
Rep. Nearman?
Aye.
Rep. Stark?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mueller?
Yes.
Vice Chair Rayfield?
Yes.
Yes. Feels good to do a roll call vote on an amendment every once in a while, doesn't it? Okay. I'll now entertain a motion.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2019 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Rayfield has moved House Bill 2019 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Okay. Seeing none, please call the roll.
Rep. Holby?
Aye.
Rep. McClain?
Aye.
Rep. Nearman?
Aye.
Rep. Stark?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mueller?
Yes.
Vice Chair Rachel?
Yes.
Chair Bay?
Yes. All right, and we don't need to assign a carrier, so I will close the work session on House Bill 2019 and open a work session on House Bill 2252. Give us a reminder of this one.
Madam Chair, House Bill 2252 establishes requirements under which a debt buyer may bring legal action to collect debt, including the notice that the debt buyer must give to the debtor, makes violation an unlawful collection practice, and increases the time period during which the debtor may bring action for unlawful collection practices, and increases the amount of damages a court may award. There are no amendments yet, although I believe a work group is working on an amendment.
Yes, so just we're going to be moving to this to rules without recommendation, and the work group, nothing is going badly. It's just literally the ability of legislative counsel to draft the amendments in time. So they weren't able to actually get the amendments drafted in time, so things are still going well. We've kind of been on ice and waiting for the amendments to actually be drafted so that we can kind of fine-tune the final language. So this is going to rules, but definitely with the intention of being able to ultimately move a compromise bill. So.
All right. Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2252 to the floor without recommendation as to passage and that it be referred to the Committee on Rules.
Representative Rayfield has moved House Bill 2252 to the floor without recommendation as to passage and to be referred to the Committee on Rules. Is there any discussion? Yes.
Chair Fagan, I have real concerns about this bill. In its present form, I think it's too broad. I'll support it moving to rules with the understanding that there's going to be amendments and continued work on it.
And thanks, Chair Fagan. I have some reservations about this bill, too, about just signing a blank check for this to send it to rules. So I'll be a no to move it to rules without recommendation.
Thank you. Further discussion? Okay, seeing none, please call the roll.
Rep. Holby?
Aye.
Rep. McClain?
Aye.
Rep. Nearman?
No.
Rep. Stark?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mueller?
Yes.
Vice Chair Rayfield?
Yes.
Chair Fagan?
Yes. All right, with that, it will go to rules. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2252 and open a work session on House Bill 3248. Give us a reminder of what that is.
Madam Chair and members, House Bill 3248, in its the form that you're going to consider it is in the Dash 3 amendment, which retains the sections related to worker retention and also some related to, I guess, opt out of using various groups, which I believe Ms. Fagans will maybe describe.
Go ahead.
Chair Fagan, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Felisa Higgins. I'm the political director for SEIU, and I'm hoping you're looking at House Bill 3248, the Dash 3 amendments, which should be the new section. So the Dash 3 amendments retain only the worker retention part of the original House Bill 3248, and So to start with the dash three, basically you have just cause employment for workers who are disabled if a service contract for a qualified rehabilitation facility were to turn over. So this is janitorial, security, landscaping. If the contract turns over, this would allow for the workers currently performing the work to keep their employment for a 90-day period with just cause termination, which they do not have. They do not have to stay in those jobs, obviously, if the contractor turns over and the contractor would like to place them in another facility or keep them on. That would be up to the worker to choose whether or not to stay or to go with the new, to stay with the new contractor or to go with their former employment. The other piece of the bill allows for local government. It's mainly local governments is really who we're talking about. But public agencies to opt out if a new contractor entering into their, and there are various opt-out provisions. I'm sorry, I'm skipping around a little bit, but there are various opt-out provisions currently under the QRF law. If you are not able to, if let's say you expand a contract and a QRF is not able to take up that work, you can opt out of using a QRF and use a non-QRF. This allows an opt out if you are, if a QRF is in violation of labor standards, you can opt out and use a non-QRF, but only if the non-QRF agrees to retain the disabled workers for that just cause period of 90 days. And in our experience, once workers actually have been in employment for that period of time, they rarely turn over. I'm happy to answer any questions about the dash three amendments.
Questions about the dash three? Yes, Representative Nierman.
Thanks, Chair Fagan. So, Ms. Higgins, the dash three amendment says that the individual with disabilities can keep their employment on terms that are as favorable to the individuals with disability or more favorable to the individuals with disability. Who decides what's more favorable or less favorable? Because there's, I mean, there's pay, there's working conditions, those kinds of things. So who gets to make the decision on that?
The public agency gets to make the decision on that.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Chair Fagan, Representative Nierman.
Thanks.
Other questions or comments? Yeah.
I just wanted to clarify that this, the contracts are for services and not goods, and services that are performed at facilities that aren't owned or operated by the QRF itself.
Chair Fagan, Representative Holley, that's correct. There are, this is for services.
Okay. Further questions or comments? All right, thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right, Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 3248, dated April 16, 2015.
Representative Rayfield has moved to adopt the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 3248, dated 4-16-15. Is there any discussion? Yes.
Thanks, Chair Fagan. So I think these QRFs have had a lot of changes imposed on them by governments lately, and have a lot more changes to come. And I kind of feel bad putting it to them just one more time with this kind of stuff. I will say the amendments are very superior to what was in the original bill. I have to say, there's one part of the bill that just really upset me, was which is no longer in the bill, but at any reasonable time, the Commissioner of Bureau of Labor and Industries may enter the office or business establishment of any qualified nonprofit agency for individuals with disabilities and gather the facts and information necessary to determine blah, 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 blah. And that just seems to me to be such an egregious violation of the Fourth Amendment that it troubled me for a long time. But these amendments have taken that out, and so I'm happy with the amendments have made it a better bill. I still think that I'm not happy with the bill. I'm not happy with the amendments or the way they're written, but I'll vote for the amendments because they make it a better bill.
Thank you. Further discussion? Okay, and just for me to that point, I actually support the amendments. I think for a similar reason, is that there are going to be a lot of changes, and the reality is the workers are going to be the ones that are going to really experience these changes. And so this allows at least that kind of continuity, that retention of their job after, if you know, if any of the changes cause, you know, any of the QRFs to make dramatic changes, these workers actually get to retain their job. So I'm supporting the Dash 3 Amendment because of the stability it will provide for the workers in what will likely be a bit of a shifting environment for the next bit. So just for what that's worth. So any further discussion? All right, seeing none, please call the roll.
On the amendments.
Right? On the amendment.
Excuse me, we're on the amendment, but there is going to be a no vote on the amendment, I believe, so we will still call the roll.
Oh, no, actually, I'm going to be a yes on the amendment. It'll be a no on it.
All right, so is there any objection on the amendments? Thank you, Representative. All right, with that, the amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3248 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Rayfield has moved House Bill 3248 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair Fagan. I have a couple issues with this bill, really based off of the logic of where we say we're attempting to help the current employees. Let's just theoretically assume that one company, QRF, has a janitorial service and they have 10 employees working there. And they lose the contract for whatever reason. And another company bids on that contract, and they have their own 10 employees that they bid on that contract with. Well, if the incoming company has to keep the current employees, then what are they supposed to do with their own employees, the ones that they bid on this? And I've been told through the conversations that the incoming company would have to find something else to do with those other employees. And so I feel like we're saying that we're helping those who currently have a job, but how about those with the same disabilities or similar disabilities that work for the incoming QRF who now have less opportunity for that? And so I think it makes a claim that it's helping those with these disabilities, but I'm not convinced that it helps all with disabilities because in order to make room for the current employees, we displace employees that would be coming in. The other challenge with this logic, and I understand there's a Senate bill that is trying that would change this, but currently with the QRFs, if QRFs are paid, we've heard a lot about the different wages that individuals make and the sub-minimum wage that they make on different projects. Well, if I have 10 employees and because of their different skill levels, I'm paying them different amounts, well, if the 10 employees that I currently employ and I take around from job to job with me, if their average pay is $8 an hour, well, then I would be bidding a job based off of the exact employees that I have and their capabilities. And so without having all the personnel records of the employees at the location of the QRF or the service project I'm taking over, how can I appropriately make a proper bid? Anyway, so those are some of the challenges that I think this has. I understand I've talked with some at SEIU and the idea of trying to change the entire model of what's going on here. I've caught a glimpse of what that could become. But I see there's significant challenges in getting there. The transition process from where we're at to where I've been told we're attempting to go, I think there's going to be a lot of fallout doing that. And so I'll be a no today for the reasons I just listed.
Right. Thank you. Further discussion?
Yeah. I can appreciate Representative Stark's position, but it's sort of my understanding that most of the people that are with a QRF already are working in some venue, and so the contract that's being taken over by a new one is likely to displace those current people with disabilities as opposed to displacing the new employees coming in. However, I think under the bill, it also allows the QRF that's got the new contract to look at the new employees, and they undergo, they have to meet the hiring procedures and demonstrate that they're able to work under those circumstances during a probationary period, and that those qualifications are basically under the discretion of the QRF to determine whether they're qualified as new hires. So you know, they won't be having to hire somebody that's not qualified in a particular area. So I'm quite a bit more comfortable with that. With that piece in the bill, I think that does add quite a bit of protection there for the QRFs.
All right. Thank you. Further discussion?
I think, Madam Chair, that this is a very difficult conversation because we're moving from one system to another, and we're trying to move along a dialogue that talks about people having, you know, jobs and having wages for those jobs that, you know, are responsible wages. And there, we're also talking about folks that may not be employable in one setting or another. And so we've talked, I think, when Senator Gelser was here, that there are some folks that actually may need a different setting. And I think that fear of what that different setting is something that, you know, we're probably all trying to work through. But my belief is that what we have left in this piece of legislation is marching us forward on that conversation and is helping us make sure that folks that have jobs that are able to do this type of productivity will continue to do that work, will be retained for that work, and will have a wage that should be valuable, and not just to them, but demonstrate their value. And so I think that it's a hard change, it's a hard transition, but I feel after reading again the amendment that we just passed that we're headed on the right pathway. And there may be some more adjusting that we need to do, and there may be some more work we need to do, and there may be some other pieces that we have to pick up. But I feel like it sounds like this conversation has been anywhere from 2 to 4 years in the coming, and that this one looks like the next step on trying to further that conversation.
Thank you. Further discussion? Okay, seeing none, Debbie, please call the roll.
Representative Hovey?
Aye.
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Nierman?
No.
Representative Stark?
No.
Vice Chair Bueller?
Excused.
Vice Chair Rayfield?
Yes.
And Chair Fagan?
Yes. And with that, Representative Holby, would you like to carry this bill? I don't know. I think you might know more about it than anybody.
If you would like me to, yes.
Or is there anyone else who'd like to carry the bill? If there's anyone else, okay. Well, with that, Chair Holvey, or excuse me, Representative Holvey, former committee, other committee talking, will carry the bill. House, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 3248 and open a work session on House Bill 3315.
So, Madam Chair and members, House Bill 3315 requires the Department of Fish and Wildlife to recoup costs incurred providing services to executive department agencies. Suspends the authority of the department to bill and collect funds from other agencies until fiscal years beginning on or after July 1st, 2017, and requires the department to prepare statements showing charges beginning January 1st, 2016. There is a -3 amendment, which I believe changes the dates, and Representative Rayfield will probably speak to that.
He can, and then actually Rich can come up as well.
Okay. And so we, and just kind of really quickly, we spent some extensive work with the various folks who came up and initially testified to try and come to some resolution on something that would be workable for everybody to kind of solve a problem which we all agreed existed. And so I thought Mr. Engstrom spent a lot of time behind the scenes, you know, walking around doing a lot of work, and so you're probably best to kind of maybe present, you know, you know, your concerns and how we, you know, kind of address some of those.
So, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Rich Angstrom, President of the Oregon Concrete Aggregate Producers Association. We had significant concerns over the original bill because what we felt is it went from having the department kind of figure out what their costs are for doing permitting for folks like mines and other kinds of things to straight to the solution, which was to follow kind of an AG model of billing out for those costs to the various agencies. And we felt that that would eventually get passed down to the permit holders. We felt that it it's good that ODF&W figures out their cost drivers, but we thought the bill missed essentially the middle step, which is once ODF&W figures out what their cost drivers, what does that mean? What does it look like with their regulatory program? What are the standards they're going to be applying and how their program basically works? And what are the other solutions besides just the one? And so we felt that we worked with Representative Rayfield. We came up with a series of points in there that kind of put that intermediate step in. The one thing I would say is Oregonians like to talk a lot about solutions, and that gives us the opportunity to explore solutions, explore how ODF&W is going to implement this type of program. Even though the solution's still in play, as it was in the original bill, we think that once that discussion happens, that there could be some modifications because every agency is going to be in a different position. So we've lifted our opposition to this bill.
Is there anything you want to add?
And so just to walk through the amendment, there are some, you know, the real simple middle step that Mr. Angstrom was talking about is really information gathering, and we've asked ODFW to provide us with some information so we can better assess prior to the implementation of ODFW being reimbursed from the other agencies. So.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Rich.
Okay.
Is there any other? Okay, well, I guess we'll entertain a motion.
So, Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 3315, dated April 15, 2015.
Representative Rayfield has moved to adopt the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 3315, dated 4-15-15. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Okay, seeing none, so adopted.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3315 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Rayfield has moved House Bill 3315 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair, I just wanted to ask one question, and that was there a time limit set on how long the gathering of information would take?
So the first 2 years, ODF&W will, and they were already in the process of doing this, but they will be in the process of invoicing the other agencies that are doing kind of fees or permitting processes. Within that two-year period, ODF&W is to basically compile a report of the various factors that we have listed in the Dash 3 amendments, and that will take place before implementation of the third phase, which would be the reimbursement portion.
So the invoicing, the invoicing is, they're fake invoices, they're no-pay invoices, though.
Correct,
just
during
this
the
is
first
what we
2 years.
We should have billed you kind of thing.
Exactly, and that first 2 years will allow folks to gather information so we can make better decisions further on down the road.
All right, further discussion, yes.
Just for a point of clarification, what Representative Nierman had said, So this phase where they're doing invoices, those invoices will not eventually be billed or collected
right.
in the future?
But they reflect actual work done that has value.
During the first 2 years, they will not be reimbursed for those. Years 3, 4, 5, 6, and on into the future, they would be, mm-hmm. ODFW would be reimbursed right. for.
Thank you.
Further discussion? All right, seeing none, please call the roll.
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Nierman?
Aye.
Representative Stark?
Yes.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Vice Chair Buehler?
Excused.
Vice Chair Rayfield?
Yes.
And Chair Fee?
Yes. And I'm assuming that Representative Rayfield would like to carry this bill? Because God knows I don't want to.
I'd be happy to carry it.
With that, I will close the work session on House Bill 3315 and open a work session on House Bill 3523.
Give us a little reminder.
Madam Chair and members, House Bill 3523 reorganizes the mission and governance of the State Library, changes the name of the trustees of the State Library to the State Library Board, changes the composition and number of board members, and provides for the governor rather than the trustees to appoint the state librarian. It establishes a state reference coordinating council consisting of the state librarian, state archivist, and state of Oregon law library to coordinate interagency delivery of services. And There is a dash 5 amendment, which includes changes by the state law library, the state law librarian, and the state archivist to make it clear what the responsibilities of each are and to modernize some language related to services for print disabled people. Thank you.
All right, Madam Chair, I move to adopt the dash 5 amendments to House Bill 3523 dated April 21st, 2015.
Representative Rayfield has moved to adopt the dash 5 amendments to House Bill 3523 dated 4/21/15. Is there any discussion? Yes.
I just want to just make a transparency statement that my son-in-law works for the Oregon State Library again. I did that before. So.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Okay, seeing none, is there any objection? Okay, seeing none, so adopted. And with that.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3523 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and they be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Rayfield has moved House Bill 3523 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none. Debbie, please call the roll.
Representative Newman?
Aye.
Representative Stark?
Yes.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Representative McClain?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bueller?
Excused.
Vice Chair Rayfield?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fagan?
Yes. And we'll close the work session, House Bill 3523. And we're not going to work House Bill 2617. So let's stand at ease for a moment just so I can quadruple check that we're not leaving anything off. So. Okay, and we're back. So is there anything else for the good of the order? We are through our first chamber deadline.
We did it.
So bills that are... We will now move on to Senate bills, and just as I stated last week, but just to reiterate, we will not have committee on Thursday, so enjoy your day. Certainly come and sit in here if you'd like, but no one else will be here. So
I was actually going to hold the committee meeting by myself, and then call myself to testify.
Yes, good. Go for it. I'm sure you'll get about this many people, too.
Yeah.
I know Rakowitz will be here. He's ordered to be here by order of the chair. Okay, with that, I will close the House Committee on Consumer Protection Government Effectiveness. Consumer Protection Government Effectiveness.